Good afternoon, everybody. One more time. How are you doing? Hope you are healthy and strong and in God's protection. Amen. So we're going to continue our study on wisdom. It started last week by our brother Rinaldi. And we're going to continue to talk about wisdom for the next few weeks. How many things that we need God's wisdom in this time like this? We all do, right? And, you know, just want to share a little bit. You know, when I was younger, I remember it seems to me that I have figured out everything about life. It seems to me that I have answer to everything. You know, and even this is the before the age of internet, I know, you know, whatever that is to know, I think I know. You know, even when I was 17 years old, you know, 16 years old, when I had a girlfriend, I already decided, I already know enough to get married. So when I'm 18 years old, I'm going to get married, you know, because I feel like I have figured it out. I mean, what is there to do? You know, I'm in school, and after high school, what else I need to do? I mean, it's just like getting married and have children. So, you know, early in my age, I think that I falsely think that I already know everything. But, and this is good. This is good, you know, for my job, at least, as a consultant, IT consultant. I shared here before that one of my mantra of building a relatively successful IT consulting business is to always seems to know better than my client. I never say when the client asks me something, I never say, oops, I do not know. I always say, oh, that can be done and I know how to do it, to give the confidence, right, to the clients in the back of my mind. Of course, it's, you know, Mr. Google is going to help me. But I this works well to have that kind of attitude. I know the answer. But this is what I find out. As I grow older, as I am where I am now in my life, the stage life that I am in right now, I find out, and the more I grow older, the more things that I do not know. The more times that I realize that I do not have the answer to everything. And especially in this pandemic time, we realize, people realize that we do not know a lot of things in this certain uncertain time. We do not know a lot of things. And what, you know, we can go to the internet and ask question, you know, when is the pandemic is going to end and what should we do and what's the new normal is going to look like. They try to offer answer, but one thing is for certain is that they do not know for certain. One thing is common. Nobody knows what's going to happen. And this crisis is good in a way because God can use it to make us realize our lack of wisdom, how we need wisdom, and it humbles us. It humbles us. What do you do when you do not know what to do? And a deeper question also, how do we know what is the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do? What if you are simply clueless, confused, frustrated? And if you are in that situation, in the state of mind, let me tell you that you are not alone. I have lots of questions, a lot of uncertainty and confusion myself. And these are the things that kind of go through my mind almost daily. How do I lead my family in this kind of uncertain time? How do I lead the church so that everyone continue to grow even though we cannot gather physically? How do I calm nervous people so that people are not arguing one another and then in a destructive way? You know, how do I do this? How do I do that? And all kind of question is, you know, many people offer suggestion, you know, what to do. but they are also unsure about their own life and their own future. It's a lot of uncertainty. So we will continue to, because this topic about wisdom, I think, is very timely. It's very important for us. And James has the word of God, the word of wisdom that he wants to tell us. So just continue. Let's look at the James chapter 3. We are looking at that verse, verse 13 to verse 15. I title my sermon today, Heavenly and Earthly. All right? James chapter 3, verse 13. We're going to go look together. All right, so let me read it for you. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? You know, I imagine, you know, James is looking at the congregation and he is asking everybody, who is wise? Raise up your hand. And I imagine a lot of people raise up their hand. I kind of imagine this is the kind of generation that we are into. Everybody claimed to be wise. So James said, who is wise and understanding among you? Everybody said, yeah, me. I'm wise. I know the answer. But then James said, if you think you are wise, this is how you know that you are wise. Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. So immediately, you know, like when people hear, oh, I need to be humble. Now I'm raising my hand. I'm not that humble. Okay, and then the whole room becomes silent. But if you harbor bitter envy, verse 14, and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it. Do not boast about what? That you are wise. Because you have some stain in your heart. That's what he's saying. Or deny the truth. And verse 15, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. The word wisdom is under quotes, in between quotes, wisdom. He called it wisdom, but it is of earthly kind. So he wants to bring us one step closer now. Instead of just talking about wisdom or need for it, last week we talked about the need for wisdom. He wants us now to think about this a little bit further. What is earthly wisdom? What is heavenly wisdom? What is the difference? That is the discussion that James and this sermon wants to bring us further. So last week we look at the verse, right? We look at the verse that, and this thing is not working, so can somebody just mend the LCD for me? Maybe the battery is not good. All right, so last week, remember? Last week we talked about this. This is the same slide that I quote-unquote stole from our brother Rinaldi. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to find wisdom, this is Proverbs chapter 9, you start what? The fear of the Lord. And we'll talk about it a little bit more in this preaching and in the coming sermon in the coming few weeks. But and the knowledge of the Holy One is inside. This is where you start. If you want to start knowing godly wisdom, of course, it is by fearing the Lord, come near to the Lord. So this week, I want to come a little closer. I want to bring it, zoom in. What does it mean that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord? The word fear is not, last week we explained, it's not necessarily, you know, fearful because some terrifying thing is going to happen, but it is more in the sense of respecting, honoring, right? So let's continue this discussion. How do we start? Where do we start? What does that mean in specific when the Word of God says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord? And I want you to take a look at this particular verse. This is the key verse. If you miss everything in my sermon, take this home, this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. But to those who are called, both the Jews and the Greeks. You know, the Greeks is well known for their philosophy. Really smart people. That's why people like Aristotle, Socrates, they are all Greek philosophers, right? at that time, ancient time, we look upon the Greek to learn philosophy, right? He says, but to those who are called, both Jews is very religious, very learned in Torah, in the law of God, and the Greeks, who is very learned in the worldly wisdom at the time, Christ instead is the power of God and the wisdom of God. We're going to concentrate on the wisdom of God. There is a separate preaching altogether on talking about the power of God, but today I want to just talk about the wisdom of God. Now, I call it key verse. Therefore, I want to approach this verse after I meditating it a while. I'm going to tell you all different angle of looking at this verse, the fact that it says that Christ is the wisdom of God. Just a little review first before that. Wisdom is knowing how life works. Now, last week, that's what we learned. Wisdom is knowing how life works. And I'm going to push it a little bit more because of this verse. Wisdom is knowing how life works, shown through the life of Christ. Think about that. Through the life of Christ. Because it says, it is not just general wisdom. It is just not any wisdom that we can think of. It is not just philosophical wisdom. It is not the smartness, street smart, or anything. Specifically, the Word of God says, Christ is the wisdom of God. What it means is this. Wisdom, godly wisdom, is knowing how to do life in the kingdom of God by following Christ's example. Looking at it a different perspective, this is what it says. Separate from Christ, there is no godly wisdom. Because Christ is the wisdom of God. Separate from Him, there is no wisdom of God. One more perspective. The wisdom of God is concentrated in one person, that is Jesus Christ. One more. If you want to find God's wisdom, you can only find it in Christ. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Outside of the kingdom of God that we know through Jesus, there is no true wisdom. I hope that we can, you know, I'm giving you all kind of perspective and meditation because it is very important, one key thing to learn. If we want to gain true wisdom, godly wisdom, there is no other way than going through the door of Jesus Christ. There is, by the way, I mentioned that the wisdom that James mentioned is in between quotes because we call a lot of things wisdom. And sure, I mean, you know, there's a lot of smart thing that, you know, old or new people says, and it seems to be right, but it is under the quotes. It is not through wisdom, godly wisdom, according to James and according to the Bible and according to this 1 Corinthians chapter 1, who is, of course, was written by Paul the apostle. Christ is the wisdom of God. The way we judge whether something is wise or not wise is looking it through the perspective of Christ. Unless you judge it through the eyes of Christ, many things can deceive us because it seems like it is quote-unquote wisdom, but turns out it is only a wisdom of man. And let me tell you, I don't want to depress you too much. Let me tell you a good news. And this is the good news. In the next slide, Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. And this is the good news for you, because those of you who believe in Jesus, you know this wisdom. And he, which is Jesus, answered them, the disciples. And this is what Jesus said to the disciple. To you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Meaning, you know the secret, you have the wisdom of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, who is them? The unbeliever, it has not been given. You who believe, you who are disciples, you know the wisdom because God has given to you. Those who unbelieve yet, they have not received it. It has not been given. And I think that is a good news for most of us that listen to this sermon, this broadcast, because you have Jesus, you believe in Jesus, and because you believe in Jesus, it has been given to you this wisdom, this secret of the kingdom of heaven. And the fact that it can be given by who? By God. You know, God can give. Why can he give this? Because he is the source of wisdom. He can distribute this wisdom to all of us. He can give it. And who know that the best, who know the best that can give that kind of wisdom to how life works? It's none other than God himself, because he is the creator of life. He know how life works, and he can give it because he is the source of wisdom. And that's why we need to know that kind of wisdom through the door that Jesus Christ has provided us. I want you to notice something in this verse. It says, to you it has been given. But it does not say that you can live in it yet or you're growing. You are given, not necessarily that you have it, because to have something, someone has to give you and you have to take it and then use it. This is only saying, but it is a good start. It is a good news that God has no hesitation to give you the wisdom. But then a lot of Christians are still unwise, because we are not using the wisdom of God. We are not growing in the wisdom of God, although it is available. I think more of the question that we want to talk about. It's not that God does not give wisdom. It's not like he not dispensing or distributing the source that he has to us. It is more on our unwillingness to apply the wisdom of God in our lives. And we have the wisdom, but we, for many reasons, refuse to grow this wisdom in our lives. So a lot of us, staying baby Christian from day one until the day we die, we grow very little. We stay toddler all our life as far as the life of faith is concerned. Of course, we do not want to stay there. I encourage everyone, including myself, to continue to grow. So my next section of discussion is, how do we grow this wisdom that we have received? We have received the wisdom, but it is in the seed size. We need to grow it and then use it so that our lives can be prosperous and good according to God's standard. So how do we grow the wisdom? Next week, we'll talk about how to apply it specifically. But this week, let's concentrate on how to grow this wisdom. And I want to share this. The next slide, please. Number one, three steps of growing wisdom. Number one, perspective of humility, of a posture of humility. Anytime we want to grow in our lives, in any area, anytime we want to be better, the posture, how our heart needs to be in humility. Of course, that makes sense. Because if you think that you have known it all, then there is no desire to grow further. How does people in the Bible do it? They posture their heart for humility. They said to God, we don't have it all. You know it all. How do you get this posture of humility? I think the crisis is making you right now to be humble. Honestly, I think that's what's going on. The crisis points out that you don't have it all. You don't know it all. And so that put a lot of people now in the perspective of humility. Man, I thought I have it figured out. I already have a plan for my life, but it just threw out the plan. And a lot of people is asking, when can we get back to normal? No, you cannot get back to normal. That's why they call it new normal. When is this going to end? I don't know. Nobody knows. And it puts us in an attitude and posture of humility. We know that God knows, but we don't. The Word of God, Matthew 23, verse 12, says this, "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." In other words, if you want to play a game of, I don't need God, I know it, and even if I don't know it, I will figure it out later, that is putting yourself up, exalting yourself. But an attitude of humility says, God, I really need you. Mr. Google cannot help me, but you can. I'm humbling myself to you, God. And that's what it is, Matthew chapter 23. That's step one, perspective of humility. Number two, what does people of God in the Bible do? They pray. And I put exclamation point on pray, because if we want wisdom, we better pray hard. And Proverbs chapter 2, verse 3 and 6 says this, "Cry out for insight and ask for understanding." That word "cry out" is a word signifying the intense emotion for wisdom. Insight is wisdom. If you lack something and you don't think, it's okay, I don't have it, it's okay, then you will not cry out. But if you really want to know how to do life the right way, you would cry out for insight and ask for understanding, and then for the Lord grant wisdom. This is just pointing us to the right source. The right source of wisdom is always God, and He can grant it to us who cry out and who beg, who ask for wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding, the Word of God says. Instead of trying to come up with our own theory, our own opinion, the Bible, the people of God that is in the Bible says, cry out for insight. Cry out. Shout. Go to your prayer closet and say, God, I do not know what is going on. Please show me. Please speak to me. Ask for understanding. And this is in line with what James said. James chapter 1, verse 5. And those of you who follow this series know, in James chapter 1, verse 5, James says, if any of you lack wisdom, he is to ask of our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. What a wonderful promise that God gives us. If you lack knowledge, somebody says, go to school. If you lack wisdom, get on your knees. Franz Hafner, 20th century American theologian and author, say that. If you lack knowledge, go to school. If you lack wisdom, get on your knees. One more verse that I want to give you, but it's not in the LCD. Let me just read it. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. A good verse to memorize. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things which you do not know and understand and cannot distinguish. That's a good verse to assure us to go to God when we need wisdom. So, this is the third one. Price to pay. So, first is posture of humility. The second is pray. The third is price to pay. Now, choosing God's wisdom is a dangerous proposition. Let me tell you that. Because sometimes it is not politically correct what God tells you. Most of the time, it is not easy. There is price to pay when we decide that we believe in God and we believe in His wisdom and we want to implement His wisdom in our life. There is price to pay. Why? Because the world is against it, the demon is against it, the price can be costly. For example, I decided I want to become more like Christ. That sounds good, and the Bible encouraged it, and that is very Christian cliche that everybody said to become like Christ. So let's say that I believe it. I want to become like Christ. But to become like Christ is to have compassion. And to have compassion is to be able to sacrifice for others. Now, there is a price to pay. I may have a lot of other things to do, a lot of other agenda. And maybe when it comes to execution time of showing compassion, I have other interests that prevent me, that I have to sacrifice. But by the way, you already know that anything valuable in life takes some cost. There's some cost that you have to pay, involves some price that you have to pay. You are familiar. And let me just tell you how familiar you are with this concept of paying for something valuable. Just like when you want to buy a house, you have to give up some entertainment to build up your saving. You sacrifice or let go of your pleasure because you have a goal. You want to own a house, you have to have a down payment. So you are familiar with that concept. Just like when you enter into a relationship, you have to give up some me time. Correct? That me time that you used to have so many, now this other person is quote-unquote demanding. They are not saying it, but, you know, they will show it in their attitude that they want to. You have to spend time with the person that is in your relationship. And so you give up your me time. You give up your freedom in order to gain something better. And Jesus said too, if you want to follow me, then you have to pick up your cross. And what he's saying, a different way of saying that is that if you want to follow me, you have to learn how to control yourself, deny your pleasure and comfort to get something your faith says it's more valuable. And wisdom is valuable. The kingdom of God is valuable. Look, ignore the title, the mocker. I'll explain later. But in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, Jesus says this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered. And I didn't put the rest of the sentence, but let me just go ahead and read that to you. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in the field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned. Sold everything he owned. To get enough money to buy the field. If you look at it, this is actually not very different than when we want to buy a house. The only thing is, it seems like he doesn't have a lot of belongings, so he has to sell everything in order to buy a field where he thinks that there is a more valuable treasure. In his estimates, this field is more valuable than everything that he has. And the kingdom of heaven is like that, the Bible says. It's a treasure. And that is something that I want us to think about. Is the kingdom of God is a treasure or not for us? Is the wisdom that Christ showed through his life, that he teach us, is that a treasure or not? Is that valuable or not? And I think the Bible and Jesus himself challenge us. You have to give up less valuable profits to gain more valuable things, valuable treasure. And this is what we need to learn, and I meditate every day, is that if you have Christ, you have everything. You know, the kingdom of God is like that field with treasure. Even, now I think about it, and I'm a trader, you know, I my mind works like a trader mean profit, you know, what is the profit? And I put myself as that guy who sell everything and buy that field. If he sell everything and get some field with treasure, he is not even losing a bit eventually. First, of course, he has to sell everything. He has to let go of things that he probably hold on for a few years already. He is so familiar with the thing that he hold on to, and he even think that this is so precious. But then he sees something more precious, and he sold everything. You know, I mean, even though he see it, it's more precious, still the act of letting go, the thing that he is so familiar, sometimes can be a challenge, right? Can be a challenge for you to let go some of your habit, even though you know that the habit is not giving you any benefits, but still it's a challenge, although you know that it is more valuable. So this guy is giving everything, but eventually he will gain profits. So this is my encouragement to you. If the word is going to give you, try to influence you with his value system, let it go. Let it go. The world is trying to say what it thinks is wise, what it defines a good life. Sell it. Like this guy who sells everything for something more valuable. Instead, buy into this wisdom of God. Buy into this kingdom of God. Buy into the treasure that is in it. And this is paying the price. And in addition to that, we got mocker, the mocker. What is the mocker? Those who mock because they think that you are doing foolishly. That is a challenge too. That is the price to pay. Last week, we talked about the simple and the foolish. There is a third unwise person, which our brother Rinaldi mentioned, which is the mocker. The mocker is someone who despises us because they think that we are foolish. Job chapter 17, verse 2, he said, I am surrounded by mockers. I watch how bitterly they taunt me. Taunting means, you know, jeering. Like, oh, you foolish, why you do that? That kind of thing. We are surrounded in our world today with people who are mocker, who think that the Christianity is a foolish thing to do, and only foolish people will follow Christianity and put their faith in Christ and all kind of argument against our faith. And indeed, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, the kingdom of God and its way and its wisdom is foolishness to those who head for destruction. So I want to just go and encourage you to take on this treasure. And let me say this. We concentrate so much on the paying the price. Oh, you know, it's difficult to be a Christian. And it discourages us to really seek the wisdom. But I just want to make sure that you notice the beginning of the verse in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Do not lose sight that this is a treasure. Yes, you have to pay the price, but it is a treasure. It is a good thing. It is the most valuable thing. Do not give up just thinking, oh, you know, there's too much to pay. Nobody can pay it. You know, to be a Christian and to seek God's wisdom, it takes hard work. And we focus on the difficulty in getting God's wisdom, and then we stop and we never grow. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Do not focus on the price. Yes, you have to pay it, but do not focus that. But focus on the price, and the price is Christ. That is the benefit that you and I need to focus. Choosing the better way that end well. It is the treasure. Hallelujah. If we focus on just the difficulty of becoming a Christian and following Christ, it stops us in persevering for growing in godly wisdom. I want to close with one verse to encourage all of us. And this is the verse in the last slide. It says, blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom. In a way, you have been given a wisdom. But wisdom grows. It does not stay the same. We all grow. We want to grow in wisdom. I want to encourage you to pay attention and focus on the treasure that we can find. Christ is in our lives. He is the source of wisdom. But a lot of time we stop. But now that you know, you can grow. And how do you grow? Let me summarize it for you. Number one, a posture of humility. Number two, get on your knees and pray. Number three, whatever cost it is, pay the price. You will be wiser, growing in the Lord. I also realize that some of us do not have the commitment yet to Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. I want to invite you today. Place your trust in Jesus Christ. He not only give you wisdom, He help you to grow. The Holy Spirit, when you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, His Spirit is helping you to grow. Even when I cannot see it, He's working. The song that we sang earlier says, even when I don't know it, He's working in my life. It all starts with recognizing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If you want true wisdom, it is only through Jesus Christ. He is the source of wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah.